Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua, chapter 1. We think about the beginning of a new year, and I think it's the right day to do that. But anyway, we just want to begin this time living for God, serving God, commit this year to be the greatest year ever. Amen. It could be the year of the coming of the Lord. I've said that every year because I've believed that every year. I still believe it today that he could come any day, any time. Amen. That's the time is in his own hand, not for us to predict. It's for him to come when he has his set time. But we want to be ready no matter what. But we want to walk with God until then, and tarry with him eternally. So let's notice the book of Joshua chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, rise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, this people, to the land that I am giving to you, to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon I have given to you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of a good courage. For this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all which Moses, my servant, commanded you, or the law which my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the scriptures today. I pray that your Holy Spirit would move throughout each of our lives, to encourage and strengthen the people that are here, Father. Help us, Lord, this year to be the servants of the Lord that you've called us to be, to serve you, Lord, with all of our heart. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless the ministry, the anointing, be upon the word of God, upon your servant to give, and upon all of us to hear and receive. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just start off calling this beginning with God. I know if I really read the beginning verse, I'd go to Genesis 1:1, but anyway. It's 2017, we're beginning with God. And let's just keep that in mind, because you see, Israel here was on the verge of entering the promised land, and this time they would really enter. 40 years had passed since they first attempted to enter Canaan's land, but 40 years had come and gone because of their unbelief. They were not able to enter. But now they're standing on the brink of the Jordan River. They're ready to enter. God is with them, and God has commanded them to go. And everybody wants a good beginning. If we look back, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, there's things that we haven't began very good in our life. There's things that we have began good in. Of course, we want to remember the good things. But surely we want this to be a good year. We want it to be a spiritually successful year. We want it to be a year that Jesus returns. I don't know. I can't tell him when to return. I can't tell God to do anything. You know, God's never asked my opinion on one thing. He knows what to do. Praise the Lord. But if he returns this year, I want to be ready. It'll be the greatest year ever, greatest time ever. It may be a year of difficulties. There will be some difficulties in this year, but there will be some victories. There will be some things to shout about and to praise God about. Number one being, we've just experienced the presence of Almighty God in this place. Hallelujah. You can't get better than God. Hallelujah. But here we find that God has commissioned Joshua to take Moses' place to lead the children across the Jordan into the promised land. And he says here in Scripture, I know that he says, Moses, my servant is dead. And thou therefore arise and go over this Jordan, and all this people to the land of which I am giving to them and the children of Israel. It's a land that God promised Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. And God promised that through Abraham's descendants, all the world would be blessed, and that is accomplished through Jesus Christ, being the Savior of the whole world. But God promised this land to the children of Israel. Amen. There was no Gaza interference. There was no presidential interference. There was no ex-presidential interference. Don't read too much into that. God gave this to them, this land forever. It was theirs. Praise God. And nobody is going to take Israel away from God. It's His land. He created it. And He promised it to His descendants. He promised to Abraham's descendants, you're going to inherit this land forever. Hallelujah. It's that very place, this is not in the message, but that very place that Jesus left from and the place that He's coming back to one day. One day in the clouds of heaven, He'll set His foot on the Mount of Olives. Amen. Divide east and west. Take on the second coming of Christ. Praise the Lord. He will come again. Amen. Let's get back to the topic. But Moses had died. Here Joshua was supposed to take his place. It would be a difficult thing to follow Moses. Moses was a wonderful servant of God. There's probably nobody in the Scripture that followed God more closely than Moses. And God said in one place, He said, I speak to prophets through dreams and visions, but I speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Man, God could make it where he could converse on an eye-to-eye level. So Moses had a greater revelation than anybody that we know of, really, in Scripture, except that those who saw Jesus after His resurrection, His glorified state in Revelation chapter 1. But however, God equips the person that He calls, and God had equipped Joshua, and Joshua had been a close servant of Moses and went with him everywhere. And I have to believe this, that the presence of God and the glory was so great around Moses that Joshua didn't want to get too far from Moses, because he knew he was in contact with God. Not Moses was God, but Moses was in contact with God. And so we find here that God calls Joshua out here. And Joshua's part was to believe and follow. Amen. And this also is our part as believers. We're to believe who Jesus is. And when Jesus said, follow me, that is what we're supposed to do. We may not be able to follow Him in the natural sense as the disciples did or in the physical, but in the spiritual we surely can follow Christ. And He is our leader, and He's the one that we look to. As a matter of fact, Christ is the author and the perfecter of our faith, finisher of our faith. And so we know here that we've got to, there's no place and no time. Is God weak or unable to guide His people into all the unknown? You know, we can't see tomorrow. I'm glad we can't. There's some things we really wouldn't want to go through if we could look back at our life. We'd have known that ahead of time. But we didn't know it ahead of time. And God knew that we didn't need to know it ahead of time. And so we find that God knows what's happening. And whatever we go through, God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? And we are a life of living by faith. That's what we live in Christ. We live by faith, not blind faith, but a certain faith that God has made this way for us. If we look in the book of Hebrews at the chapter 11, we find that chapter is full of people who live for God by faith. They couldn't see things. Noah couldn't see the flood. He just knew that God had said there would be one. Amen. Moses could not see all of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. God told him there would be, and God gave him faith for it. And it says in one place here that these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were assured of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims upon the earth. They knew that they were God's people. They knew they had been called to a life of faith, to live for God no matter what. And you and I, in some sense, are strangers and pilgrims upon this earth, because this is not our final home. Our citizenship is in heaven. Amen. Where Christ rules and reigns forever. Hallelujah. Amen.
the Apostle Paul. Paul said, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the mark for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Amen. Even though Paul had horrible trials down here, you think you've been through it? Let me tell you, if you'll read about the Apostle Paul, he was beaten 3 times with rods, stoned, and left for dead once. He had it pretty rough. If you ever, like me sometimes, get to feeling sorry for yourself, I'm just being honest, you should be too. We can read about the Apostle Paul and find that he had it much harder than you and I, and God, by his grace, brought him through to the place that at the near end of his death, he said, "The time I'm now ready to be offered, the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith." That's the way he lived his entire life. Praise the Lord. And so, first of all, if we're going to begin with God, we need to realize the reality of the hour. Here Joshua saw that Moses was dead. Moses was gone from the earth forever. Moses' legacy would live on. His example was a great example. And the example of Moses would live on. And he's still talked about today, many years later. But God didn't favor Moses more than other people. Because I'm glad the Bible says time and time again, God shows no personal favoritism. Amen. He loves you just as much as he did Moses. Amen. And you say, "Well, I wasn't as great as Moses." I agree with you. I wasn't either. Only God is great, and only God is good, and you and I are good because God has made us good. As a matter of fact, the only good thing about us is Christ in us. If you take that away, you have a carnal, sinful nature left. But you're born again of God's Spirit. You belong to Him. Hallelujah. And the righteousness of Christ rests upon you. And God sees you in the favor and the righteousness of His Son. Praise the Lord. So the reality of the hour. And there are people in our lives who have left great examples on how to live for God, how to live by faith, and how to die in faith. And you can think back of a relative or a friend, somebody you knew, a soul that sold out to God and lived for God and served God no matter what difficulties come along. And we could tell of a few, we could tell of many, if we were to open this up for testimony, and it's not. But if we were to, you could tell us of many people that have set examples for you. But my friend, let us begin with God in 2017. And that's what Joshua would do. He would begin with God as he marched toward the promised land or across the river into the promised land. And through him, God would use this man in a powerful way. Through him, God would lead Israel to conquer all the enemies in the land of Canaan. And he would divide as an inheritance to all the 12 tribes, each to his own inheritance that God had promised. But God gives them something how to begin with God. In verse 8, he says, "This book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." God is saying here, "Joshua, if you want to follow me, just let what I put in my word guide you." They didn't have 66 books in the Bible to deal with at that time. They had part of the Pentateuch, first 5 books, first part of them. But the book of the law was the only source of truth that they had. For they would go to the land of Canaan, who had a land of many gods, or things they called gods. And with these false gods, they had all forms of worship, and they had many carved images, and no revelation of one true God. And the only revelation of one true God there would be Israel marching forth and living for God and serving God faithfully, one true God. Matter of fact, God would instruct them, Deuteronomy 6, he'd say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." There's not many gods. There's not many religions. There's not many windows to heaven and you just jump through one of them. No, there's one way. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so here, Joshua would have to live by faith and he would have to believe what God said. They had the law that came through Moses, or came from God through Moses. 10 commandments, they had those. They had many gods in Canaan. I can assure you that the lifestyle of the Canaanite was not through the Ten Commandments. And we see this in our own day. Canaanites had no belief in the one true God at all. They knew nothing about refraining from stealing and killing, committing adultery and bearing false witness. They didn't have anything that restricted them from anything. Sadly, that's what our world wants today. No restrictions from anything. But God says, if you're going to live for me, there's some things you can do and there's some things you can't do. We would all just like to live here, the things you can do. But we have a challenge in our day. Here we have the Bible, the Word of God, that's freely preached and read throughout our country. We're blessed people to have that. Not every country has that. Some people go to jail for possession of a Bible. In North Korea, you'll go to jail for several years, plus many of your family members, descendants down, can go to jail for what? One member of your family having possession of a Bible. And they're treated terribly in North Korea, the most persecuted place in the world. But we have the Bible, the Word of God today, but it amazes me at the illiteracy of the Bible that we have in our nation today. There shouldn't be any illiteracy. And I remember the former church that I pastored, they were all Catholic there before they got saved. And they knew nothing of the Bible. They didn't know anything about David and Goliath. Simple stories that I learned as a child. I thought everybody knew about David and Goliath. Amen. He's a whopper. It didn't come from Burger King or wherever. And he was a giant, 9 foot high. And I just assumed everybody knew those stories. Knowing the ark, they didn't know nothing. But they learned the Word of God, and they were open, and they were hungry, and they began to learn. But I feel like in much of the world, much of a church world today, here in our own country, that people do not know anything about the Bible, what it says, or much about God. And it's a cause of lack of people going to church faithfully and going to Sunday school and not raising their children to know the fear of God and to know what God said about how to live this life. And I'm not here to run anybody down, but I am to deliver the truth to you, my friend. And it's caused, many of our problems in our world today, in our country today, are caused by the absence of the Bible, the absence of prayer at school activities, the absence of prayer everywhere. And it's caused by atheists and freedom from religion people and unbelief. And nationally and locally, there is a spread of just don't believe in God and just don't read the Bible. That's what's said in our country today. But I want to tell you something, friend. We must have what God says. We don't have anything if we don't have God's Word. But we have His Word, friend. He's going to stand by His Word. He's going to stay true to it to the end. He will not fall one thing short of fulfilling His Word. Man. So we have biblical illiteracy in our world today, our country. Years ago, I was listening to an evangelist who I have great respect for. He's got dead and gone on to heaven to now. So he's not dead. He's just in heaven. It was at one of his camp meetings that I feel certain that God called me to preach. And his name was James Brinkle. You've heard of Don Brinkle. That's his brother. But he preached one night, and he was saying he was in a college class in a place. It was not a Bible college or a Christian college at all. And he in that class, and the college teacher, and he said, the teacher liked to pick on me because he knew I was a preacher. And this professor claimed he did not believe in God, didn't believe in heaven or hell. And he used the word hell regularly as a cuss word or as a expletive. And he said he had used hell as this and hell that. And all you hear it all out in the world, you know how people use the word hell. And Brother Brinkle had said nothing during all the class or the classes that he had attended, but one day he stood and he said, "Hey, teacher, I've got a question." "What's that, preacher?" He said, "I want to know why you talk so much about the place you don't believe in." And he said, "You seem to talk a lot about that place, but you don't believe in it." But he said, "But you will believe because you're going there." Whoa. He said at that point, every person in the class stood up and gave him a Standing ovation. Anyway, I'm not Pearl Harvey with the rest of the story, so I don't know what happened after that. But yet, here we see Israel had 10 commandments. They knew God's teaching of right and wrong, of good and evil, of cursing and blessing. These people knew what it meant to walk with God. They knew that God would bless them if they followed His law, His commandments. They knew that God would allow curses to come upon them if they didn't follow His law. And so as long as they were in right relationship with God, they would have the blessing of God upon them continually. And they had blessings promised to them by God that anybody, it seems, would like to have. Amen. They would have victory over their enemies. Their crops would grow good. The rain would fall at the right time. They would have a wonderful, productive, prosperous life if they followed God continually and kept His commandments. We know later on they veered away from that and backslid and went into captivity. But yet, as long as they had and kept God's commandments, they would have God's blessing. And today, we really have no excuse for the Word of God, or not reading God's Word, or not living by it, because it is so available in our country. You can find a Bible anywhere. You can find a Bible. You can pay as much as you want to for a Bible, or you can get one probably for a dollar at a dollar store. Man, probably won't have a leather cover. Anyway. But anyway, we can know the right and wrong because we got God's Word. And God had told Joshua, said, this book of the law, these commandments, they can't depart out of your mouth. You can't just forget about what God said. He said, you want to meditate on it day and night because you understand that the more we hear something, the more we're likely we're to believe it. People that advertise on TV know that. If you listen to them long enough, they can make you believe every stupid thing they say. Amen. Don't worry. I'm not going to start calling names. Tempting sometimes. But anyway, as they would hear this law over and over, they would know it was the truth, and they would begin to follow it, and they would begin to think what God said was wrong. And today we have no excuse. We have the Word of God available. We cannot leave this world saying, I just didn't know what God said, because we do know. Because, see, God's Word was to be their constant guide as they conquered Canaan's land. This book of the law, these commandments were not to depart out of their mouth. They knew it was wrong to steal, kill, destroy, commit adultery, bear false witness. They knew all those commandments were of God. God had said, you're not going to live like that. Amen. Or you're going to live by these rules. There's things that are wrong. So God was to be their constant guide as they conquered Canaan's land. And you and I today, we can only be successful as we abide by what God said, His commandments. Only then can we complete God's purpose for our lives. Life will be confusing, and it will come to where you don't have the answers today or tomorrow or the next day if you don't let God be in charge and lead your life. But in 2017, friend, I just have this belief, I have this feeling, if we'll turn, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that He'll walk with us and He'll talk with us, or we'll walk with Him and He'll talk to us. He'll make us know the right from the wrong. He'll make us know what choices to make in life. He's involved in your everyday life. He cares. He knows. He understands. It is our part to surrender and to follow Him with all our hearts. If we can gain more from this passage, we'll find that the Bible is essential to the faith. One of the first tenets of faith of the Assemblies of God is the inspired Word of God. You got to believe the Bible is inspired, or it does no good to read it. But if you believe that God spoke it, and that's what it is. Paul tells Timothy and tells us today, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. And is profitable for rebuke, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be fully complete for every good work. And so it is the inspired, infallible Word of God. He didn't say the Book of Mormon was. He didn't say that holy book after holy book is. There's only one really holy book, and that's this one, the Bible. Amen. But He said it's infallible, it's inspired. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it said there, the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a double-edged sword. that pierces even the division of soul and spirit. I want it cuts to the quick. The joints and the marrow, and discerns the thought and the intent of the heart. I want to tell you, wherever the Word of God, if your heart is really open, it'll talk to you. It'll show you what's right and wrong. It'll lead you in the right way. Praise the Lord. And we know that Peter had something to say about that too. For he said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved, carried along by the Holy Spirit. So we know it's divinely inspired. Amen. That doesn't mean that every version of the Bible is inspired. As a matter of fact, no version of the Bible is inspired. In its original languages, it is inspired. And how it's brought to us today in the English language, yes, it is inspired. Amen. But God's Word and truth, as it was originally given, is inspired of God. And yes, you can read the Bible and believe it. You can read the King James and believe it if you're worried about that. And you can read the Word of God and know that it's true. And you can point out the major doctrines that are in the Scripture. God's given that to us. But they were to continually fill their mind with the truths of what God said. You shall meditate therein day and night. Amen. My friend, how many days and nights do we spend watching 2 or 3 hours of television, but we say, I just don't have time to read the Bible? Oh, come on. You know, do we really think we're going to get by with lying to God? And you're not going to get by with it. We really have time. We make time for stuff we really want to do. So let's take time for God's Word. And we find in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. He's talking about the commandments of the Lord. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Do you really think that God thought His Word was important? Yes, I think He did. Amen. And so, literally, some of the Pharisees literally did, verse 8, to bind them on their hand and as frontlets between their eyes, where that everything they did and where they went, they would be reminded of the Word of God. That's the idea. If Israel didn't, their lives would be continually filled with Canaanite ways, Canaanite lies, things that would destroy their relationship with God. And church, we need to be filled with the truth. We need to hear the truth over and over again. You say, well, I got it, preacher. And I had one guy tell me one day, he said, I don't have to listen to you very often because you did such a good the last time, I don't have to come for several months. I didn't take it as a compliment. So I took it as ignorance anyway. But when we fill our lives with the truth of God's Word, then the truth turns over in our mind and our heart continually. We know the truth. We know the truth. And we know when something's a lie, we'll know the difference in it. Amen. And if we don't fill our lives with truth, surely the enemy has a lot of other things to fill your mind and your heart with, none of which bring peace to a troubled soul. And so, the Bible tells us, Ephesians 5:18, be not drunken with wine in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things. The Bible tells us what to fill our minds with. Amen. And so we can hear all kinds of messages from this world out there, and anything you hear, most of the things you hear in secular music are not really edifying at all and not spiritual at all most of the time. But when you dwell upon the things of God, He fills your heart with spiritual things. My grandmother, one of them, my dad's side, she was 80-something years old. She died at 89. I preached her funeral many years ago. But She believed some strange things, but she had a living relationship with God. At one point, she told me the earth was square. I said, well, Grandma, how can you come up with that? She said, because the Bible talks about the four corners of the earth. Anyway, when a person's 80, you don't argue with them. You just kind of go on. You're not going to change their mind anyway. Sometimes at 50 instead of 80. But she would pray and seek God every day, and she would pray till she prayed through to the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues and praised God in another language every day of her life. It doesn't matter if the earth is square or round or rectangular. She knew God, and she entered this, left this world with Christ in her heart. Somebody had showed her the way. And God says here to Joshua, he said, if you'll just do this, he said, I'll make your way prosperous. And you'll have good success. Everybody wants that in a new year. Everybody wants that every day. Israel would have success over their enemies. They would have the power of God present in their lives to conquer their enemies. When temptation and sins would come along, they would have the Word of God thundering in their heart of what was right and wrong. And even in the New Testament church, friend, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God to convict us and show us right from wrong. And it knocks on our heart's door when there's something we shouldn't do or something that's going to be harmful to us. God, by His Spirit, graciously corrects us and leads us. Hallelujah. And the power of God would be present to conquer their enemies, and whatever is the enemy of God's commandments is God's enemy. He said, then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And I'm sure this verse has been used by a lot of the prosperity preachers that, yes, this is a, they see dollar signs everywhere here when they see the word prosperous. But what is prosperity? It isn't always financially. God may bless you financially. I'm glad He does. I don't care how much money you make. I hope everybody in here makes six-figure digits in your income. I know better than believe that, but anyway, I don't care how much God blesses you. I hope He does. But prosperity here is not talking about financial, but it leads, it's that which leads you spiritually closer to God. God will make your way spiritually prosperous. You'll get closer to God. You'll see more of the power and the acts of God as you walk with Him day by day. You'll have peace in your heart, knowing where you're going, knowing that heaven is your home. Amen. You'll have the peace of God. Amen. Because you're walking with God, you're living for God. You're going to be prosperous spiritually. And you will have good success. And God, if you're worried about it financially and materially, yeah, God prospered them powerfully because they live for that's part of it too. But it doesn't mean you don't have any faith if you don't have the latest car. Then you will have good success, divine success. Success doesn't always have dollar signs. It isn't always measured by a collection of possessions that you may own. Success is an ongoing, enduring, unending relationship with God that you walk through the trials of life and hard times don't get you down or they don't destroy your work with God. You trust God to walk you through. If you have a financial difficulty, you trust God to give you what's needed until you have the victory. If you have a physical problem, you're sick, or something's wrong with your health, it doesn't mean that God hates you or doesn't care about you. It means that you need God to walk with you through that. My friend, I've come a lot of calls. I'm sure that God has spared me from a lot of things in life, but I can tell you He's walked me through a lot of things in life that I didn't want to go through. But I can tell you He is never absent. He's always there. He's a friend who's closer than a brother. He's King of kings. He's Lord of lords. He's the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He loves you. He cares for you. You're His child. And His way and His word is a way to success. Amen. Enduring relationship with God. Success is to begin and to finish with God. Don't go any other way. There is no other way. Walk with Jesus. Live for Him. Amen. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me? Dear Father, we want to walk with You. We want to dedicate and commit this year to You. God, we want to be governed by what You said. Not by what some worldly concept says, but what You said, Lord. And I'd help you, pray that You'd help every one of us, Lord, in this room to make the commitment to read your Bible through this year, read Your Word.
I pray, oh God, we'd open our hearts to the truth of Scripture, that we'd have greater understanding, that we would not be willingly ignorant of your word, but we would willingly know what your word says. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Is there one here today and you say, Pastor, I don't feel like I'm ready to meet God, but I want to be. I don't want to leave this world without Jesus. By the raised hand, but that you'd say, Pastor, I don't have peace in my heart when it comes to my parting this world. People your age, my age, every day, today, will die, will face eternity. They will enter the forever. And God does not want anyone to enter forever without Him. We make the choice, and God gives us the choice to make. So if you're here and you say, Pastor, I don't really feel like I'm ready to meet God today, just raise your hand. I'll simply pray with you. Amen. Everybody here at one time or another was not ready to meet God. And you surrender to Jesus. Give your heart to Him. And He saved you by His grace. And He loves you and cares for you today.